The pregame show for your day. Cleveland's Morning News with Wills and Snyder on News Radio WTAM 1100.
Thanksgiving weekend, lots of deals coming your way every morning. This time, Wills Ways to Save. Matt Granite, Channel 3's Morning News is in. I can't keep up with what you're writing and posting, man. You are a busy guy, and thank you for doing it, by the way.
You're welcome. I went through another 5,000 deals in doorbusters over the weekend, and I am loading up the best of the best to WTAM.com keyword save. Our mission right here on Will's Ways to Save, don't line up, don't let the stores ruin your Thanksgiving, and don't feel pressured. I'm doing all the work for you. You pick, you click, you're good.
He's going to wear out your Twitter if you follow him on Twitter this week, posting what's up there. Now, let's start today. You've got, for Friday, we're talking Black Friday deals, but we're going wireless here first this morning, right?
Yeah, one of the top requests, quite simply put, for all of our listeners, and this comes in from everyone of all ages, what is quite simply the best pair of headphones? It's a doorbuster that people are going to line up for, one of the top-rated headphone brands in the world. They're obviously not paying us to talk about them. And the HD headphones that I have found are both life-proof and waterproof. They offer built-in microphones so you can take your hands-free calling. You can stream from the iHeartMedia app so you can listen to Will's Ways to Save wherever you are. They're waterproof. They surpass the amount of standby time and talk time that you'd find on the Apple AirPods. They retail for $160. The doorbuster price... $39.99 free delivery.
Wow. So a couple of clicks, I got the deal then, right?
You have the same deal that folks all over the country are going to be lining up for by the thousands. And the reason I love this, again, I've put them through the ringer, been using them for months, brand new to market, 1 year warranty, but the ratings on these are just unbelievable. Good for sports, the gym, just listening and streaming. But you're getting the same price people will camp out for right now on WTAM.com keyword save.
Looks like all week Matt's looking back at some of the more popular items we liked, and he's found deals on them for you for a Black Friday. We'll keep you posted every day. WTAM.com keyword save. Watch him on 3 this morning. Back here same time tomorrow. Matt Granite, Will's Ways to Save. Thanks, bud.
Awesome.
Cleveland's Morning News with Wills and Snyder. You get Mike Sports, win or lose, at 15 and 45 past on News Radio WTAM. 1100. It
yes.
was a mess.
Well, you know, Bill, last week we were lamenting the play of the defense.
Yeah.
So this week we lament the play of the offense.
Equal time
you know,
here.
The defense, actually, you could say the defense only allowed, 13 points. So I guess that's something to hang your hat on. But the offense was brutal. 19-7 was the loss. The play of DeShone Kizer, well, it was just awful. As Hugh Jackson said afterwards.
Obviously not a good day for us. Had some chances, couldn't get it done. Again, they made some plays at the end. That gave them a chance to win the game, obviously.
You know, I could probably just take that quote there and play that every Monday. That's basically it. And in the NFL, when you're two or three plays away, now that's an eternity. You can hang your hat on some things, but until you make those plays, and the Browns just don't. Kizer, 16-32, one touchdown. That was nice to throw to Duke Johnson, but he had two awful interceptions, fumbled twice, as he put it.
Trying to do whatever I can to string together some games, continue to prove my development to my teammates, to continue to earn the respect of them. And I think this is the first game that, you know, come off the field feeling as if I didn't prove that I developed in at least one area.
Now, Hugh Jackson says he's going to stick with DeShone, though, and really, what other option does he have? He's got Kessler or Hogan. Well, we've seen that act. So, Kizer will be the quarterback as they go to Cincinnati on Sunday. Browns at 0-10, 1-25. It was revealed yesterday that Dee and Jimmy Haslam spoke to the entire team this past Monday, basically indicating, hey, we're all in this together. Keep fighting. Bad news, defensive end Emmanuel Ogba, who's actually played pretty well, suffered a broken foot, so his season is over. Browns will meet a Cincinnati team that won a game in Denver for the first time since 1975 as they beat the Broncos yesterday by a score of 20-17. The Broncos have now lost 6 in a row. And last night, the Eagles, yes, the Eagles with Carson Wentz, 37, Cowboys 9, Philadelphia now 9-1. College football, Ohio State's an 11-point favorite for Saturday's showdown at Michigan. That'll be a noon kickoff. Cavs will look to make it 5 wins in a row when they meet the Pistons in Detroit tonight. 7 o'clock tip. We'll have it for you right here. Isaiah Thomas intensified his workout with the Cavs yesterday, his most aggressive workout as he comes back from the hip injury, but no update on the timetable for his return. And coming up at 5:45, Hugh Jackson declared that Kizer is his quarterback going forward. side, and we'll hear more from him on what he's looking to find out in these remaining games this season. Home of the Indians and the Cavs, Mike Snyder, News Radio, WTAM 1100.
I'd take this book and beat you to death with it, and I wouldn't feel a thing. It'd be just like walking to the drugstore. Maybe I should have killed 400 or 500 people, then I would have felt better. I was raised up in here. I say, I can't handle the maniacs outside. Let me back in. It's all a play, isn't it?
A few of the clips of the different interviews Charles Manson granted over the years. America's most infamous mass murderer dead overnight, passing away at 83. Our Bill Zimfer on it this morning. Bill, good morning. He was, you talk about culture and cult and the name recognition. Charles Manson, he had it all.
Well, I'll tell you what, this was a story back in the day, late 60s, early 70s, when the killings took place and then the subsequent investigation and trial that gripped the nation, really, and had an impact on all of America. This was something like we had never heard before, Bill, the killings and then the bizarre story of the Manson family and the grip that Charles Manson had on his followers, almost a mystical type of a grip he had on them. Then, of course, the trial that was well publicized, followed by books and movies. Charles Manson is a name that will never be forgotten. Denied parole 12 times during his sentence. Initially, of course, sentenced to death, but that was commuted to a series of life sentences for him. But Charles Manson was hospitalized last week and did pass away over the weekend.
He directed the grisly killings of actress Sharon Tate, six others. It was the summer of 69. Originally sentenced to death, but the Supreme Court commuted that just to life in prison?
Yeah, and California, of course, did away with the death penalty. So he and his other followers who were convicted in that, Susan Atkins, Patricia Krenwinkel, Leslie Van Houten, and Tex Watson, also were in prison for life sentences. So it's just one that if you were around during that time, if you're of a certain age, it's something that you will never forget, because these killings really grip the nation. They occurred in the summer of 69, as you said, Bill. It wasn't until December that arrests were made. So police were desperately trying to solve these crimes. For that time, they were grisly, included 169 stab wounds and 7 gunshot wounds among the victims. Sharon Tate, as you mentioned, one of the victims who was 8 months pregnant at the time. It was a crime that really had the nation in shock. And Charles Manson says, of course, what he wanted to do was ignite a race war in his warped mind.
Charles Manson dead at 83. All right, Bill Zimfer on the story. Bill, thanks much.
You're welcome, Bill.
News Radio WTAM 1100. This is Bill Wills. Christmas shopping. Jordan Goodman joins me at moneyanswers.com. Shopping means spending money, I think, right, Jordan?
I think it does, Bill, actually. This is going to be a very, very strong season because consumer confidence is very high. The stock market's had a big rise here. People feel better about their home values going up. So I think it's going to be a gangbuster season. I think you've got the Apple iPhone out there. It's probably going to be the big present.
Sure.
So that's all good, but people are going to go into debt to do it. So, I mean, currently there's over $1 trillion in credit card debt outstanding. The average rate's about 13%. A lot of people are paying more than that. So two things they can do. Get lower interest credit cards. They do not have to be paying 13 or 18 or 25 or ridiculously high rates. A website to do that would be guidetocreditcard.com. All the best deals are there, low interest rates, frequent flyer miles, rebates, you can get like 5-6% back. There's just a lot of good deals, but you have to go after them, Bill. What shows up in the mail is always the worst possible deal.
You want to go shop for a good deal on this thing,
shop
right?
for a good
yeah.
deal, and there's a place, free place to do it, guidetocreditcard.com. That's the first thing. If you go into the season with a lot of debt, and you're really paying a lot of interest and just the minimums in your credit cards, you're not able to get ahead, go to a non-profit credit counseling place, because they can get you maybe 6-7%, something like that. You combine all your debts into one, pay a lower interest rate, get out of debt in 2-3 years instead of having this hangover for the rest of your life, basically.
Yeah.
A website for that would be, it's called Cambridge Credit Counseling. CambridgeCredit.org is their website. Their phone number, 800-897-2200. They've helped a lot of your listeners in the past. You don't have to be just totally burdened number. I heard a lot of people last year went into Christmas credit card debt, and it took them till May and June to pay it off. You don't want to do that.
No, and you pay the minimum. It could take 30 years in some
of these
credit cards.
That's correct. It says it right on the statement. So, if you pay the minimum, it'll take you 30-something years, particularly on something that's just disposable. You don't want to pay interest on a dinner you ate a month ago.
So a couple things. If you've got a lot of debt, that CambridgeCredit.org can help you in counseling and put together a better payoff.
They have what's called a debt management
plan, DMP, okay,
where you combine it all at a lower rate and pay it off quicker.
And right? Using a card responsibly, may as well get the best rate and the best deal you can, then that's the guide to creditcard.com.
Correct.
Okay. Jordan Goodman on the info. He is at moneyanswers.com. Always good about returning an email if you got a question on something. Moneyanswers.com. Thanks, Jordan.
Thank you, Ben.
Money guy Kevin Myroff with me at NCA Financial Planners. According to Wallet Hub, guess what? Number one wanted gift for 2017, of course, it's the gift card. Clothing a distant second. Kevin Myroff at NCA Financial Planners with some good advice on purchasing that gift card. Kevin, it is amazing. Year after year, it is the most popular gift. It's so easy to give, right?
Oh, it's easy to give, and then people get to pick out exactly what they want.
Got some advice, though, as you're shopping before you purchase the gift card. Kevin got a few tips from the Better Business Bureau. Do some research here first, right?
Yeah, if you're not buying a gift card from a major chain, if you're doing it from some local retailer or some company you've never really heard of, do the research. How long have they been in business? What if you buy the gift card and they go out of business? And so look at the Better Business Bureau, just like anything you would do if you were just buying that gift yourself.
Read the fine print and take a real good look at that card before you buy it, too.
Yeah, I mean, there's some cards that every month you don't use it, they charge $3.95. You know, and so, you know, that's close to $4 a month. By the end of the year, $48. Now, that usually doesn't start till years gone by, but you should know the very specific rules, so you know, use it or lose it.
Great point. I forget the specific card. One year we were going to give I'll say it was MasterCard, but it may not have been. You know, one of those little MasterCard things to the kids. And yeah, it costs like $2-3 a month to keep the thing going. I thought, I did not do that. Gift receipt also. Make sure you keep track of this thing too, right?
Yeah, you want to have a gift receipt, and you want to inspect the card before you buy it. This is really important because on the back of that card is that gray area you scratch off to get your passwords. And so what thieves will do is they'll come in and they'll look through gift cards in a store because they're all in those racks. And they'll write down the front numbers and then they'll scrape off the thing and write the password off. And then when you buy it, they'll call every day to see if it's been activated because Christmas is a great time because you buy it early and usually it's, you know, 1, 2, 3 weeks later that you give it to somebody. So they have that period to go online and use it.
Scammers are everywhere. Amazing. Okay, so let's say I did all this myself and I've bought a gift card from my friend Kevin Myroff at NCA Financial Planners. You are going to receive the gift card. So let's do a few tips on receiving a gift card. Number one, happy holidays. I'm going to give you a gift card. First, you're going to look at it, and you want to know what exactly it is. You want to know the terms, right?
Yeah, exactly. Just what we talked about before. Am I going to lose $3 every month if I don't use this right away? Is there a period when it expires?
Of course, I'd set you up with a gift that costs you money, right? You know Wills. and the expiration, you want to make sure you know the date that the thing would expire then, right?
Right. Some gift cards never expire. Some may have expiration dates. Some may have a date when fees start going. So know all the dates.
Should I have given you the receipt that I bought the thing maybe with the card?
Yeah, usually you don't give people a receipt. You give them a gift receipt.
Okay.
Well, sometimes with these cards, there isn't such a thing. And so they'll figure out how much the card's worth, right? I mean, you buy it for some amount, $25, $30, $40, whatever it is. So give them the actual receipt because if they have a problem using it, that could save them.
Here's another good tip. Use it before you lose it. Guilty as charged. There's nothing more frustrating than all of a sudden you're going through a drawer at the house and you find some gift card you never used.
Yeah, Bill, there's millions. It may even be hundreds of millions of gift cards that go completely unused. People forget they have them. They never get to them. They expire. And so use it or lose it.
All right, final tip. You say use it like cash, right?
Yeah, treat it like cash. You know, you use it because guard it because if you lose it, most of these companies, if it's stolen, they will not refund you. Some may if you have the receipt,
right,
but most will not.
You'll be on your own. All right, good tips. Gift cards, number one gift yet again this year. A few tips on giving and receiving. Money guy Kevin Myroff, NCA Financial Planners. Thanks, Kevin.
You bet. Have a great week, everybody.
Best team coverage of the Browns, our Monday morning chat with Terry Pluto, brought to you by Universal Windows, a graduate Benedictine, 8-time Ohio Sports Writer of the Year, columnist with the Plain Dealer and Cleveland.com, Terry Pluto. Although this team is not making your job easy week after week. Morning, Terry.
Hello, Mr. Will.
Okay, I just want to jump. I saw the post. You wrote a couple of pieces, but it, what jumped out to me about six lines down, it was a mess, period. Yeah.
Yes, it was. Be it the weather or the way they played in the weather. And on top of it, a team from Northern Florida showed them this is how you play in bad weather, which is not turn the ball over, run it hard. And so they were schooled on that. Of course, Doug Marrone has spent a lot of his time upstate New York and kind of knew how to do it.
Yeah, they did, and that's what Jacksonville relied on. What's got them to a winning record, Terry, their defense and run the football. They didn't do anything fancy. Bortles is not going to go win them any games, but he didn't lose it for him yesterday, did he?
That was probably the mission they gave him. Just don't do anything really stupid. You know, there was one pass at the Manuel Agba. A typical Browns fashion, he's having a great game run, and all of a sudden he breaks his foot. But, you know, he could have taken that all the way back. But in general, that's what they wanted from him. And when the Browns blew a coverage, you know, he hit a guy wide open in the end zone. And that was it. Whereas, I also think, too, once again, you know, Hugh Jackson got frustrated with the running game because Crowell wasn't running well. So all of a sudden, I'm going to go back to passing it. And you put a young 21-year-old quarterback, be it age-wise or experience-wise, throwing the ball too much in that weather. Look out. And that's what we saw.
Now, he's going to stick with Deshaun the rest of the way or as long as he can stay healthy. And I don't know that he has any other options, Terry, really.
Well, as long as Hugh could stand it. You know how he gets. This is like the third endorsement of Kizer this year. So, in fact, that's part of what I wrote was, this time you really do have to stick with it because there's nothing to be seen with Hogan and Kessler
right.
that you haven't seen. And as I wrote over the weekend, even if, I think you and I even chatted too, even if Kizer plays well the rest of the year, fine, go draft another quarterback, and then you have two.
Yes, yes. And Terry, I don't know. I'm looking right now, maybe an opportunity to win when Green Bay comes here since they've lost Rodgers. Otherwise, this is very similar to last year where we're looking at begging, you know, looking where there's one spot to get a W to avoid a winless season.
Well, you know what you're going to hear next. I mean, Josh Gordon's coming back, and they're going to act like he's the savior and so on. And let's face it, Josh has a lot of things to prove on and off the field. He's gifted, but we haven't even seen him play in practice this year, so I don't know how well he's played. You always hear everything's going well with Josh until it's not.
Yeah.
So my feeling is I'm kind of where Mike is. It's going to be difficult for them to win many games, period. I mean, the Bengals beat
Denver.
Denver, and they're 4-6. And even if this is Marvin Lewis's last year, he doesn't want to go out like 4-12 or something. No.
They're not going to win on the road. They're just not. I just don't see how they with what I've seen, because there's always a breakdown. So maybe Green Bay. It's tough.
Terry, I want to ask you. You were with Hugh after the game, his press conference. He was asked over and over again, "Is the losing getting to you?" And he says, "Yeah, you know, it's getting to me, but right. you know, it almost is what it is." You sense anything different? I know the Haslams met with the team earlier in the week. We're all on the same page. Whatever. Anything different from Hugh yesterday?
Well, at least he didn't get into, you know, I've been under the gun since I got here. He kind of got, I thought, out of a little bit of a self-pitying period that he was in before, and I thought that was good. He was more onto the game and Kizer and that stuff, so that was an improvement. And I'm sure the Haslam was just trying to give him a pep talk. I don't think that meeting was a whole lot other than that. It wasn't, hey, everybody's going to be here the next 5 years. I mean,
right.
You know, so the problem is there's nothing you can say other than like what Mike is doing, trying to find a win. And really the thing that would help the team mentally the most is if they somehow won two games, say, in the remaining six. I don't see that happening, but that's what would salvage some of their emotional health.
Terry Pluto, Cleveland Plain Dealer, Cleveland.com. Good read. Follow him on Twitter as well. Andre Knott later at 7:50. Thanks, pal.
All right, take care.
I'm working most of the week. You will see me or hear me, yes, sir.
You'll be on after the Cavs game tonight in Detroit. Let's talk about this Browns team. You know, going into it, he was like, yeah, we want to run the ball. It's going to be cold, snowy. Jacksonville came here and showed you AFC North football yesterday, right?
Yeah, they really did. I'm glad you said it that way. And listening to others, everybody wants to attack Kizer. I thought that Jacksonville came in with a game plan, ran the game plan, and was just, they were physically tougher than the Browns for whatever reason. And they're tough to beat. They bring four guys. They drop back seven, and they are tough as they can get. Like you said, that is old school AFC North football at its finest.
Well, Andre, about the only thing the Browns are saying, well, how young they are, and we see it every week that they don't make the plays, as Hugh says, that you have to make to win NFL games. It's kind of like a broken record now, isn't it?
Yeah, at this point, it really is like a broken record. We kind of know, and it's almost, as you know, we do the pregame show, and we all try to find that one silver lining, that, you know, what the Browns may be able to do. And I know it wasn't the sexiest game to watch, but it was almost, you know, it was a heavyweight fight, and one team had the big blows, and the other team just doesn't have the other stuff. And I'm not here to stand up for you, but there wasn't much the Browns were going to do versus that defense yesterday, point blank.
And whether it's 13-7, 19-7, whatever the final was, the defense did some good things. But a week ago, Andre, when they had a chance to really help the Browns win a game, where was the defense? That's kind of the way it goes when you're this kind of team. You'll find a way to lose almost, you know?
Yeah, you do. It's like you get one thing fixed or you do something halfway decent and you still have issues in other places. The run defense was pretty good going into the Detroit game last week. But I think you've noticed when teams feel like they have to run, they find a way. You get another big injury, I think, to Ogbo yesterday. And I think that's the frustrating thing as well. With all these young guys, you need every game you can to develop them. And you get a guy like Ogbo who's finally playing pretty good with Garrett on the other side. Now he has a broken foot. And you hate to cry over spilled milk, but those little things add up. These guys need all the playing time they can get. You see that even with a guy like Corey Coleman yesterday that came back. Yeah, he played okay. I think he had a career high in catches, but you need to see him six more weeks. He can't have any more nagging injuries in his second season of his career.
Yeah, he's missed as many games as he's played, and that's not good as you go forward. You look at Kaiser. Hugh says he wants to find out more. I don't know that he has any real other options. Obviously, Deshaun had a rough day. You know, Andre, the turnovers are going to happen, but he really had some awful throws yesterday.
Yeah, he did. Well, and we know, and I'm not going to sit here and make it out like it was okay, but you can see what pressure did to him. We hear it about quarterbacks all the time. We talk all week long about how great this defense is. Then he plays a tough game, and we all want to, you know, send him to the sideline. But I think it was smart of you to come right out and say he's going to be back next week. But there's some things he has to get better at. I'm not going to sit here and glorify the things that he does wrong, because there are issues and there are things that he can't continue doing no matter what his age is. But I'll say it. You know, you go back through it. This is a team in Texas in Jacksonville that's had 10 sack games against other teams. We knew that defense was good, and I think now when you see it up close and personal, it's another thing that, you know, in Kaiser's development, he needs to see.
I don't think I've asked you yet, in this way at least, in our visits. There was a time, and I still think you can make an argument to bring Hugh and his staff back.
Oh, yeah.
Based on your point of the young talent, I mean, you got to pick better groceries to make the meal. But with as young a football team as this is, I think there's an argument you keep Hugh and the guys.
It's a tough argument, but I do agree with you. And when you say it that way, and if I'm Hugh, I would probably do whatever he's doing in the background. And I would say, because the groceries part of it is very true, I think he would say, you know, give me a fair fight in this. Let me get some veterans. Let me get some guys that can finish the job off. I think Mike and I spoke about it yesterday. Got a lot of young guys that are competing, but they have no idea how to win football games or how to win any kind of game. You know what I mean, Bill?
So, sure.
I think there is something to what you're saying. I know there's somebody probably driving on 77, 71 right now that's banging their head against the steering wheel.
And, you know, Andre, just to interject, too, you go back to that January press conference when Jimmy Haslam said a multiple-year rebuild. So, in a sense, all of us, maybe the whole thing, if you're going to go with this analytical thing and see it through, maybe you add a football guy and you stay with everything. I don't know what I don't know where else you turn to unless you just start all over again.
Well, let me ask the question to you guys at this point, and I hate to say it this way: what's the hurry?
Yeah.
You
know,
what's one more year?
What's one more year? I got you. I hear you.
But find the football guy. I think that's the main thing you said. Get another guy in there, just another voice. Another guy that can kind of direct traffic a little bit between everything you have. That's the only thing I would say.
Best team coverage of the Browns, Andre Knott. Catch him tonight following the Cavs game. He'll be on the Cavs post game. And Triv will talk more Browns this afternoon from Hooley House Minute. Josh Cribbs in the 5 o'clock hour. Andre Knott, thanks, pal.
Happy holidays, guys.
Big Cavaliers coverage on News Radio, WTAM 1100. Bill Wills, Mike Snyder alongside. John Michael will call it tonight in Detroit. Your morning Cavs update is brought to you by Huntington. Want a bank that believes in looking out for its customers? Welcome to Huntington. Cavs coming off a game Friday where they, what did they miss? Their first 9 or 10 shots, I think. Finally came back into overtime and beat the Clippers. Bill Wills, Mike Snyder alongside. Morning, John.
Morning, guys.
That was a slow start Friday night. The whole game, matter of fact, we were playing from behind.
Yeah, no kidding. I mean, they surrendered the first 12 points to the Cavaliers, trailed by as many as 15. Never led the game until overtime, but, you know, certainly a nice rally down the stretch. Not how you want to draw it up all the time, and the Cavs have been doing that a lot, frankly, this season in a handful of their 9 wins. They did it in New York during this 4-game winning streak, did it again against the Clippers. The defense has locked it down in the fourth, and a lot of times that's been LeBron James. In that New York game, he guarded Kristaps Porzingis in the fourth quarter, basically shut down a 7-3 Porzingis, did the same thing to Blake Griffin against the Clippers. So Cavs waited a while to get it going, but they did get it going 4 in a row tonight, and they go to Detroit for the first time to play in the Little Caesars Arena as the Pistons no longer are in Auburn Hills, no more Palace. It's downtown Detroit for the Cavs and Pistons tonight.
Well, there you go. You know, John, I think when you said a mouthful there, you know, about LeBron, you know, he's so great. Sometimes you take things for granted, but when you really think about it, he's guarding Porzingis, he's playing point guard, he's then guarding Griffin, a different guy than Porzingis. This guy really is amazing, what we see on a daily basis.
It's frightening, Mike, and he's the one constant. You know, we're seeing players get injured. We're seeing this team go through growing pains and bringing in new personnel and trying to get things going. And different guys will struggle. They'll go through stretches where they're not comfortable, or they'll have a week or two where they're not shooting it well or something. It just doesn't happen with LeBron. It never happens. I mean, ever. Since his return, he doesn't go through stretches like that in any areas of his game. So it's really incredible. We continue to watch the guy's 15 seasons into the league, and he's still the most consistent guy, and he's still the biggest mismatch problem in the NBA, and we're watching it on a daily basis. So it's special, and for him to remind us just how he can get it done on that defensive end, just when the Cavaliers need it, he's done that during this winning streak. So some special stuff, and hopefully he continues to keep it rolling as this team tries to get healthy again. The guards continue to get injured. The Cavs are going to be without Derrick Rose for another couple of weeks. They're going to be without Iman Shumpert for up to a week. He has water on the knee as well, and now they're going to turn to the veteran Jose Calderon at least to start games at that point guard spot. But once again, Michael, we're going to see a lot of number 23 right on that point for the Cavaliers.
We are, John, as well. Detroit wins again last night. They've been one of the surprise teams. Stan Van Gundy's got them playing some pretty good ball, doesn't he?
He does indeed. 11-5 now on the young season are the Pistons. I'd say they are the surprise team in the Eastern Conference so far in terms of expectations and really where they fell last season. 2 years ago, of course, the Cavs took them out in the first round of the playoffs, but they get back to the playoffs for the first time in a handful of years. Last season, though, they backslid. They won only 37 games. They were on the outside looking in, so they're off to a nice start. Their offense is a little bit different. Andre Drummond now is getting a lot more touches. He's up near the elbow instead of just planting himself down on the low blocks. So a little bit of a new motion offense for Stan Van Gundy, who has not done a lot of that throughout his career. It served this team well. Drummond's playing a lot better. Reggie Jackson still can run hot and cold, but when he's hot, plays some great basketball. He was huge down the stretch. He had the last 3 buckets for Detroit as they came from behind yesterday in Minnesota to knock off a pretty good Timberwolves team. So, yes, you're right, Mike. They're playing some good ball. Should be a challenge for the Cavs tonight, although the Cavs do have the benefit of the schedule as the Cavs were idle in Detroit and lying in wait. And like I said, the Pistons were in action in Minnesota just last night.
Window Nation Cavs now with Mike Snyder at 6. Cavs warm-up follows, and Cavs Pistons 7 o'clock tonight on News Radio WTAM 1100. Home of the Cavaliers. John Michael with the update. Thanks, John.
Thanks, guys. Have a good week.
ABC News political analyst Steve Roberts joins us this morning, and how you comment and who you comment on when it comes to allegations. These story out of D.C. with politics and more and Franken and all. Steve, where do you see this thing?
Well, one of the most interesting developments here is in the conservative Christian community, Bill, who are really torn. On one hand, they were very strong supporters of Donald Trump. Trump got 80% of the evangelical Christian vote. But at the same time, there are pastors in that community very troubled by Roy Moore's sexual history and the allegations of assaulting young women. And so people are really torn between morality and politics, Bill. The politics dictates vote Republican, vote for the guy who's anti-abortion, vote for the guy who is going to support Donald Trump's nominees to the Supreme Court. But cutting against that is this unease that they're supporting someone who's a very flawed figure morally. And the same dilemma faced a lot of evangelicals in the last election with Donald Trump, and they resolved it by voting for Trump. And they could be the key to the result in Alabama. If Roy Moore wins, he's going to win it on the strength of evangelical Christian votes.
Yeah, people voting on issues at times. Let's say he does win. There's talk about expelling him. You'd have to go back to the history books to see that done the last time. If the Democrat wins, it gets tight in the Senate, right?
It sure does. And, of course, we've seen this already very graphically with the defeat twice of attempts to repeal Obamacare, because Republicans have only 52 votes in the Senate. That means you lose three votes and your legislation is blocked. And that happened. It's not theory. We have the example right in front of us. And even more pressing for the Republicans is their tax reform bill. This is absolutely central to their hopes of going to the voters next year with a record of accomplishment. This is the Super Bowl for them. And already several Republican senators have shown uneasiness. Senator Johnson of Wisconsin, Senator Collins of Maine. There are others who are not necessarily on board. Some conservative Republicans saying this bill is going to cost the Treasury $1.5 trillion. How is that conservative economics? So if the Democrat, Doug Jones, and in the Fox News poll, Jones was ahead by 8 points in the last vote. That could really imperil the president's agenda, but particularly the issue of tax reform.
Let me get you out here on that point where the party might go. Gingrich was famous at nationalizing things 20 years ago. At times, the budget, health care has been nationalized and as a political issue. And really, they can't get this thing passed. That's year one where there was really no legislation passed under Trump.
Virtually none, but the one accomplishment they point to over and over again is the elevation of Justice Neil Gorsuch to the Supreme Court. And this circles back to exactly what I was saying earlier, Bill. For many conservative Republican voters, the single most important issue is the Supreme Court, because the Supreme Court deals with so many questions that are troubling to conservative Christians, whether it's same-sex marriage, whether it's prayer in schools, whether it's mandates to organizations to cover certain medical procedures such as abortion or even contraception. And so what you're seeing played out, you saw it last year in the presidential election, you're seeing it played out again in Alabama. That is the central issue for a lot of conservative Christians. That's what motivated them to vote for Trump. And that's why even in the absence of much legislation, they think that Trump's been successful because of the Supreme Court.
All right. Much lighter note. You and I won't get to visit before, so hope you and Cokie and the family have a great Thanksgiving, pal.
You too, my friend. Take care.